Overcoming temptation. The fact that Jesus became a man and died to save us from ultimate destruction means that we have become free of our bondage to sin and are no longer destined for hell. It's true that Jesus has won us for himself, and yet the enemy of our souls, the devil, still wants us back. He isn't done yet, and he will use every means at his disposal to tempt us back into sin, embed that sin in our lives as an immovable obstacle, and finally lead us by a broad and straight path to damnation. The devil has a wealth of tools and tricks that he can employ to ensnare us. For a start, he surrounds us with a world that is constantly trying to weaken our resolve with gaudy attractions, false comforts, and the lures of the love of money, power, and sexual sin. He sets up the mirage that the world will make us happy if we conform ourselves to its ways. And there is something in us that responds to those temptations, the flesh. The flesh, as St. Paul describes it, is that urge within us to run after illicit pleasures and to seek instant gratification for our every craving. Even though as Christians we know that certain thoughts and actions will lead us into sin, there is still something within us that draws us to fulfill the wants and needs that arise in us constantly. St. Paul describes this dynamic in his letter to the Romans, chapter 7. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. The world and the flesh are constantly fighting against the good intentions that we have because of our relationship with God. One of them, the world, buffets us from outside. The other, the flesh, gnaws away at us from within. But there is a third way that our enemy attacks us, and that is through directly tempting us to evil thoughts and actions. His main weapons are lies. He tempts us to believe lies about ourselves, about other people, and about God himself. He tempts us by telling us that if we do certain evil deeds, avoid doing good, indulge in certain behaviours, say certain evil things, think wicked thoughts, or refuse to love, then somehow we will feel better, even if it's only in the short term. You know the routine. We make judgments of our fellow human beings either because we feel superior to them or out of self-protection. When we feel superior, it seems to enhance our self-esteem. When we attack other people or gossip about someone who is attacking us or has hurt us, it makes us feel less threatened. When we choose to view pornography, we naively believe that we can somehow take away the longing that we feel in our hearts for fulfillment. Either that, or we feel that the short-term and fleeting pleasure it gives us will somehow satisfy us in our loneliness, our depression, or our anxiety. One very cunning ploy of the devil is to try to convince us that temptations are sins. But the reality is that when we are tempted to think ill of someone or indulge in lustful thoughts, we are presented with a choice. It is only if we give in to those thoughts, follow them through and dwell on them, that we commit a sin. If we choose instead to reject the thought, then we have avoided sinning, no matter how strong the temptation was. Of course, resisting temptation can be difficult if we are not on guard to avoid situations in which we are likely to be tempted. Near occasions of sin, as they are called, can occur when we put ourselves in a situation that we know is liable to present us with the opportunities to sin. We might find ourselves in near occasions of sin by gossiping if we keep company with people who gossip. In those sorts of situations, it's easy to become negative about others, to gripe about their actions or their appearance, or spread rumours about their alleged misdeeds. So in order to combat those sorts of occasions of sin, it's better to avoid people who will lead you into temptation. Similarly, if I find that I'm constantly tempted to view pornography on the internet, it's worth taking steps to remove occasions of sin from my life by limiting my access to tempting web pages, by curtailing the amount of time I spend surfing, and by making myself accountable to someone who can help me to overcome the temptation. Another way of resisting temptations is to develop a habit of self-awareness, so that we can recognize when we are being tempted much earlier, rather than just drifting into sinful ways or near occasions of sin. The unfortunate thing about temptation and sin is that if we sin frequently in a particular area, then it can become like a stronghold in our lives. Sinful behavior or thoughts can become difficult to break because they are like an addiction. We need divine help to empower us to come against sinful patterns. And that's as it should be. The Christian life was never meant to be undertaken through sheer willpower. We are, in fact, supposed to use the power of the Holy Spirit that we received in baptism to come against the sin in our lives. So calling on that power when we are undergoing some temptation is a really good idea. But the spiritual life is not all negative. The purpose of this way of life is not just to wage war on the world, the flesh, and the devil. The entire aim of the Christian life is love. Love of God and love of our neighbour. The whole reason that we should avoid occasions of sin and resist temptation when it comes along is because we love Jesus Christ. When we have encountered Jesus at a deep level and come to realise how precious we are to him, it gives us ample reason to choose him rather than conforming to the ways of the world, giving in to our passions, or listening to the lies of the enemy. When Jesus becomes our intimate friend, the source of our joy, the only one who can satisfy the hunger within us, then it makes this veil of tears bearable. And it is a veil of tears. No matter how much pleasure and enjoyment we can get from the world, we know that we are destined for another place, heaven. In a very real sense, this life is a waiting room. And when we realise that we might forfeit or delay the delights of heaven and our final encounter with the love of Jesus through our sinful actions and thoughts, that gives us the incentive we need to cling to the virtuous life and avoid the life of sin that binds us with its soft, false, vanishing amusements and its secret vices. Let's ask God for the grace to choose him and to resist the lure of the enemy. Lord Jesus, you came that we might have life and have it to the full. May we do nothing that thwarts your attempts to draw us ever deeper into your heart of love and into the life of love of your beloved sons and daughters. Give us the grace to resist the attack of the enemy, to avoid occasions in which we know we will be tempted, and to choose the life of virtue out of love for you. Help us to seek only what is holy, to see the good in other people, to renounce the lies that are fed to us by the evil one, and to hold fast to your truth that salvation is found only in you. Amen.